extreme. I redeem with faith to serve a God who's extremely great. I'm a fanatic. I'm a F-A-N-A-T-I-C. Fanatic. I rep Christ till I D-I-E. Fanatic. I'm not extreme. I'm redeemed with faith to serve a God who's extremely great. I'm a fanatic.
The world's trying to tidy up, exfoliate they skin. But only Christ can come and exfoliate they sin. And they fate look grim if they don't take him as the high priest he is to mediate they sin. The world got too many gods, man, we choose the one. From Hebrews, he rules, he rules his son. He moves the sun. So if we praying in our schools, call us fools, cause our God's too true to shun. Channels 2 and 1, man, it looks insane. TV make a lot of Christians seem dramatically strange. Though we may be looked upon as one and the same, we will not turn to shame. We proclaim the name Christ Jesus. Believe us, you ain't gotta receive us, but we gon' follow our God wherever the Bible lead us. And you can call us dramatic, fanatic, emphatic, but hey, while you at it, take a look at our mathematics.
I'm a F-A-N-A-C-I-C, fanatic. I rep Christ till I D-I-E, fanatic. I'm not extreme, I'm redeemed with faith to serve a God who's extremely great. I'm a fanatic. I'm a F-A-N-A-C-I-C, fanatic. I rep Christ till I D-I-E, fanatic. I'm not extreme, I'm redeemed with faith to serve a God who's extremely great. I'm a fanatic.
What can I do to make it simple, make it plain? Christ came and feed himself and let our sin hang him. You couldn't blame him for any sin while they singing many men. The crucifixion was pretty grim. But when we state the fact that God resurrects, we get funny looks from a world who doesn't get that we are not David Koresh or Krishna or the people on TV who glorifying the bishop. From Edward to Piper, MacArthur to Spurgeon, from Dallas to France, from Cali to Berlin, there's Christians all over who get in the word, and we ain't crazy, we just understand the truth and we burdened. Yeah. The world sees us evangelical Christians as narrow-minded fanatics with the mythical mission, labeled extremists for sharing our faith. But that's cool, we can carry the weight of persecution, cause earth is losing. And if we yelling the truth, we honored to be the people that our God's using. So keep it moving, cause if we yelling the truth, we honored to be the people that our God's using.
F-A-N-A-C-I-C, fanatic. I rep Christ till I D-I-E, fanatic. I'm not extreme, I'm redeemed with faith to serve a God who's extremely great. I'm a fanatic. I'm a F-A-N-A-C-I-C, fanatic. I rep Christ till I D-I-E, fanatic. I'm not extreme, I'm redeemed with faith to serve a God who's extremely great. I'm a fanatic.
They thought Jesus was out of his mind, they laughed and mocked him. Called him a cult leader and they tried to stop him. Pharisees said Christ got his power from Satan. Hating on the very one that came to save him. Even after he rose, man, the world ain't changed. They still rejecting the name, still looking strange. Still tell us without shame that our faith's insane. And they don't take all that to be a Christian, man. And it's hard when you're trying to reach your family and stuff. They say, man, you too spiritual, you doing too much. So we show them the love of Christ and living the light, so they can glorify God when they look at our light. And we win for sharing the truth and hearts get changed. We win if we're rejected because of his name. We win if seeds get planted and watered to grow. But even if we lost, we still be fanatical though.
I'm a F-A-N-A-C-I-C, fanatic. I rep Christ till I D-I-E, fanatic. I'm not extreme, I'm redeemed with faith to serve a God who's extremely great. I'm a fanatic. I'm a F-A-N-A-C-I-C, fanatic. I rep Christ till I D-I-E, fanatic. I'm not extreme, I'm redeemed with faith to serve a God who's extremely great. I'm a fanatic.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. The man said, I'm a fanatic, F-A-N-A-T-I-C. You know what I mean? If you're going to be a fanatic for somebody that can bless your life. Amen. Giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. The Lord God, Jehovah, the Father of all. Blessed Holy Ghost, keeper and comforter. To all the pastors and friend, Pastor O, my producer, amen, and his lovely wife, and Run for Christ Ministries, amen, and my friends from Straight Gate and Word of Faith, and amen. Amen. Y'all know where y'all at. Praise God. Hey, man, I just thank God. I've been away for a couple of weeks. Keep praying for me. I'm in recovery mode, but it's going along faster. I actually had a total hip replacement on June 1st. Amen. But praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Got an excellent report from my doctor today. Amen. So we're going to pick up. We started out talking about the why the devil exists, you know. And that to me was something that astounded me from day one, okay? But let us go before the throne of grace, amen, and let's bring God in on this because this is his program. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you. We give you all the glory and all the honor for all the blessedness of today. We thank you for what it is and what is about to happen. We just give you the glory. Father God, we're asking that you bless each and every listener here and there and everywhere. Lord God, I ask that you would bless us with the spirit, the intelligence of your wisdom, and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more open. Bless the eyes of our understanding to grow and to have a greater revelation of what it is that you want us to know. What about this great and exceeding power that you have made available to those that submit and obey you. Father God, I ask that you continue to strengthen them with might in the inner man, those that are suffering through bereavement. Courage them, strengthen them, heal them, bless them, because you're the only one that can heal the broken heart. Father, bless us with the knowledge of your will. Give us the strength and the courage and the wisdom to carry it out so that we can be fruitful in every good work and walk upright before you. And bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask that you bless that my tongue be that of a ready writer to write upon the hearts of your people that which you would have me to say, and let it be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this is a fabulous, fascinating life. You know, to know, you know, you can't, people have tried to study and through reading the Bible, try to give themselves a religious foundation. This is, you know, how you get all these denominations, you know, of which the Bible doesn't have any. You know, nobody can go in the Bible. There was one Baptist, his name was John, you know, and Methodist, Presbyterian, but yet people cling to that as though it is, and I have even seen it turn into what I would call spiritual racism in the church. You know, one part not loving the other. When the sole purpose of our lives is to learn how to love at any level, and that's challenging because it's easy at the simple level when it's just you and your family, and it's easy when your family is treating you right. But what about when they don't? And then there's this other guy. Why is he in the picture? I mean, logic contends that, you know, I would not build, I'm about building a motor right now. I would not put one bad piston in with a set of new ones. You know, that just don't make no sense, you know, because that one is going to lead to the destruction of all the others, you know. But the complexity of life, you know, wherever you are right now, just open and close your hand twice. Look at that. That's 10 million signals. Now, this is what I was told. 10 million signals. Now, look, going to billions of cells. You can take any part of your body and put it under a microscope, scrape off a little bit, and you'll see some activity that you really aren't aware of because you look at your skin and it looks like a solid mass. But when you look at it, magnified at now that they've taken magnification to the millionth level, and they're still seeing activity within activity within activity. But yeah, your hand, all those billions of cells move where you said for them to move exactly when you said, when you made the flexation, they heard your command. That is the likeness of God. Years ago, I heard a college professor say, what it takes God to run the universe is what it takes us to run the body. And, you know, at that time, I wasn't saved, so it didn't make that much sense. But I didn't debate the issue of God. You know, I didn't know because he is a complex character. I mean, look at us, how we have come with Christianity. I mean, the word of faith movement, as they called it. I mean, there's always movements going on in Christianity when you started. But now, what happened in the 70s was Christians actually started reading the Bibles. And I saw confrontations in churches that were just unbelievable. The place that you would expect the most unity had the most disunity. They were taking pastors, were taking each other to court. You know, they were splitting up churches because some wanted to get the word and some just wanted to continue as it was. But, and all this chaos. Now, and the thing that throw people off is that if we have this awesome, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God, why chaos? Why couldn't he, it's like he couldn't get it right. I've heard people say that. He couldn't get it right. No, listen. There's a reality that you have to accept. There was no way the Lord God Jehovah, creator of heaven and earth, was going to duplicate himself 100%. 99%? Maybe. That's us. But 100%? Ain't but one 100. The only other 100 is Jesus. Nobody else can claim 100. And if you notice, if you do some historical research, you know, you probably heard about some of these other guys. Those of y'all that read books and watch TV, Zeus and Pluto and all these other little, you know, the god of the sea and the god of the air and all that. And you notice how all them disappeared when Jesus showed up? You haven't heard no new. I'm sure there's some somewhere. I mean, I know some people that in my time have claimed they was God. You know, I'm like, okay, but, you know, we have places for them. So what I'm trying to get you to understand, trying to heighten your mind to what you really are. You are a spirit man, a small g God man, God woman. And that is more than it takes. I mean, for you to, without verbally saying, open, close my hand, open, close my mouth, and all these interactions going on, you're causing molecular activity at a rate, a speed, milliseconds, with continuity. And we know when it don't work. I'm usually had my body right now is retraining itself. It's retraining because I had a total hip replacement and I had to teach my right side how to walk again. And despite what, I'm going to have to teach it how to roller skate again, even though that was the cause of the problem. But still, I mean, that's fascinating when you read. You got to get an anatomy chart sometimes and just look at it and see the wonders of an awesome God. Now, because we have this much power, see, we don't know what we like outside this body. We don't know what it's like. Like Jesus right now, his body has been changed. And ours, as it says in Philippians and in 1 John, our body is going to be changed. In Corinthians, it says, you see, glorified body. Listen, that's more than just a fat-free body, muscularly toned. That's a body that is off the charts. You know what I'm going to tell you? I've seen one of them commercials on one of the new Marvel movies. If you watch the Marvel movies, they actually are showing you why God wants us to master two things. Love for him and love for our neighbor. Because the evil people in all those movies don't do that. Okay? That's tremendous. I know it seems incredible, but think about if you read up on what your eyeball does with light that enable you to see. When you look at how you neutralize food. You know, you take and bite and chew and swallow, and you digest it, and it breaks down to the millionth of an inch, and then distribute it throughout your body where it is needed. I mean, look at your body. You get your fingernails get what they need, and the bones in there get what they need, and the flesh get what they need. That's the likeness of God. So for us to understand how powerful we are, we also have to understand the necessity of discipline. The issue is that God can't do evil. It ain't in his nature. None. Nothing. He can't do evil. God cannot lie. Numbers 23:19, I believe it says. Okay? He can't lie. He won't steal. He don't deceive. So in order for us to do that, there has to be a character. Now, it could have went another way. Somebody could have volunteered. If you remember back, I believe we'll read it in 1 Kings chapter 22, where this spirit volunteered to go and deceive some prophets. This is why you have to know the word of God, okay? Because these things happen. And that happened, there's a reason, and we went back and we talked about it with King Ahab, how it was a process to getting there. First off, he got involved with a woman, Jezebel, as known in the Bible, that he should not have been involved with, and he just let stuff go on, and he continued. See, with God, when you walk in continuity, slipping and falling one time, okay, but when you live in a continuous sinful way, he's just like, all right, you want to be that? You receive the fruit of your decision. And that's what happened to Ahab. You know, he gave him time and time. If you look at the time lapse, some years went by. Okay? You know, in Ecclesiastes 8:11, it says, because sentence against an evil deed is not speedily executed, therefore the hearts of the sons of men continue in their way. In other words, see, you don't let the fact that nothing has happened. You know, when you know you're wrong, and you're doing wrong, don't think because nothing has happened that God agree with you. This is what's going on with the planet right now. This is what is being, the earth is being shaken right now, and the shaking is not over. And another reason why I'm doing this particular segment is kind of a rerun of someone else's teaching, you know, similar, is because as we get closer to the end, you're going to see an increase in demonic activity. You're seeing an increase in demonic activity. I've been noticing lately, you know, I did 31 years in law enforcement, and one part of the time we, in this city, in the Detroit metro area, the sheriff department used to control was the airport police. And people don't know, when you clown on an airplane, when you're on an airport property, you're on federal grounds, so they can charge you federally. It's a whole different ball of wax, and you do not want a federal charge. But I've seen more people act up since this COVID thing has happened. I think what it is people, it has enlightened them to the fact that they're going to die. and even though they're not saying that, they're giving up hope. Because when they act like they don't care until we lock them in behind the bars, then they start caring and crying and snotting in their nose and all that. But, and all that is because God is dealing with people that deal with him. If you're not paying him no attention, you're like, all right, it's on you. I've heard men and women of God several years ago said that the middle was gone. And one thing about God, when you start hearing it from different parts of the country at the same time, from people of esteem walking upright, because why? Look at the process. I've said it before and I'll say it again. No generation has ever had the amount of resources to God's understanding God that we have. Nobody. Paul did not have this. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He never got in his hands a completed Bible, okay, like we got. I got a phone that I got a cell phone with, I don't know, 20 Bibles on it, commentaries. I can do a complete historical research in my hand. Well, how would I be able to give that to, give an excuse to God about that? All right, for not knowing. See, what is in there is God's psychology, his understanding, and he wants us to choose. He's not going to force you. You have to choose to accept his psychology. Not only did he had it written, and it was painstakingly done. You know, the Bible, one thing about it, it stands the test of time. It's the only book. Now, that's a bold statement. You don't hear no other religion, quote, even though I hate using that word, but no other religion that'll stand up and say the Quran has always spoken the future and never been wrong. Okay, the book of Miles has spoken the future and never been wrong. Ain't but one book on the planet that they can say that about. You know, they talk about Nostradamus, but Nostradamus, you'll find his predictions, they read them off after the fact. He ain't saying nothing about the future. I already know there's going to be a cashless society. You're probably going to see cashless America in the next few years before Biden leave office. I believe that because all the cards are on the table now. These are the end of days. We passed last day. We had the final portion of it. It's so many things. And see, that's the thing about the Bible. It let us know that there's a great deception. Matter of fact, in 2 Thessalonians, I want to read that because it's important to know the fact that as we get closer, that you don't want to be playing God crazy. Okay, and now this is part. Now listen, this is part. Now, hey, look at this. This is written 2,000 years ago. Now, I mean, that's an amazing thing about the Bible. This is written 2,000 years ago, and it is very pertinent today. I just switch up on me like that. But anyway, so Paul now is writing. Now, understand that they didn't have internet. They didn't have all the things that we have to access this information. They had to wait years. A lot of Christians died, you know, never having had a Bible. Matter of fact, everybody that's in the Bible never had a Bible. The only person that had a whole Bible was Jesus because he is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John 1:1. Okay? So, so you got, get to this here, Paul is telling them about what's coming. Now, you got to get that from somebody to know, but it's lots of information on the internet, or particularly on YouTube, about the last days. So you really, if you're a new Christian, you really want to get up on that because you want to tighten your act up. You don't want to be, well, you know, I don't think it take all that. Listen, it take all that and more. I'm telling you, you don't want to get left behind. And let me tell you why. Okay, this is about the Antichrist, not just anti-Christian entities, you know, people that don't like Christians, okay? People that just against, you know, like a certain presidential candidate said that we're going to have to change our ways. That ain't happening. He said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, talking about the last day, shall not come except one, there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Okay, that's talking about the Antichrist, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, and the Holy Ghost is taking this thing a whole different pattern. Amen. Praise God. I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed for his time. Revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work, and only he who now letteth will let, and until he be taken out of the way, and then shall the wicked be revealed. And it uses a capital W on wicked. So that's talking about a large level scale entity. Be wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him who's coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. With all deceiving, this is the key point here where I'm saying, oh, no, not the next one. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, let me, I know I got new people. And you probably have heard about the 666 and the Antichrist himself. Well, that's all true. See, you got to get your mind to the supernatural side of life. You got to open up to that reality. I mean, like I said, opening and closing up your hand. My point in doing that demonstration is to show you that you are a spirit. 2 Thessalonians 5:23, that you are a spirit. You have a mind, will, and emotion. That's the soul. That's the communication aspect of your life with other entities. And you live in a body. And that limits the damage you can do. See, that your hands, with that hands right there, if it was just right now, all the Christians that have passed on would look like me, but they could, like, stick their hand inside my chest without hurting my chest. You know, they could actually walk through me. See, this is you got to get to the reality of what we really are. See, and they come in 1 Thessalonians 4, they come back to get their bodies. Okay? It's a transition. See, all this, we, even though it's been 6,000 years, we haven't moved much, okay? We really haven't moved much, but because the 1,000 years that's coming is yet another level training system, but at the higher level. See, now, what we try to do with the gospel, with the word, with church, and with teaching, and with Bibles, is to get you to understand the necessity to discipline yourself to be godlike. And I'm not, it's only complicated if you get tricked into selfish mode. Now, there we go to what I'm talking about, how the devil set people up, because that's all he want to do. As God can't lie, Satan can't tell the truth, okay? God can't deceive, Satan will. He make it his business, see? I mean, you can't have no success with him, you know? He uses and abuses people. He hates Christians that walk upright. He hates Christians that don't walk upright because they half-hearted. He don't trust them. And that's why you see half-hearted Christians' lives so messed up, see? Because Satan abused them because if something good happened, they won't praise Satan. You know, I heard somebody talking about, they was talking about speaking in tongues with the devil. And they said, well, that must make the devil mighty angry, because every time somebody do it, they say, thank God. They never say, thank you, Satan. Okay? See, people don't, this is deep, because who would do that? Nobody would conceive. Paul wouldn't have thought to write speaking in tongues. He would have never conceived that. None of the disciples, especially Peter, knew was hood folk. But see, again, you got to get the revelation of what's coming on here. God has no limit on his intellect. Satan, however, is 10 times the average human. Now, I'm just throwing that number out there, and I base that on what capabilities he has that we as humans don't have right now. But what God don't, what he is going to prevent from happening with absoluteness is for those who do not want to demonstrate submission to him. Now, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. I missed it. So that happens. That's why he threw in the forgiveness clause. He know he could made you. He could not make you 100%. You would be God. Get that in your head. I know. I've seen preachers shy back from saying that, but that's the reality. But that is not a license to sin, because there's also, now when you become a Christian, you now have access to the power of God. So even though Satan's intellect is 2,500 and yours is 250, still, when you hook up with God, yours is 25,000, 250,000, whatever you need. But for God, what he does is the more you show maturity toward him, of the revelation of who you are, the more he revealed to you. See? And again, like I say, Satan, though, on the other hand, he still has, this guy's delusionary. I mean, we all seen people that are delusionary. I mean, I ain't going to call no name, but there's a certain leader of a certain country right now that really thinks he's a god. Despite the fact he got to go use the bathroom like everybody else. He got to go to sleep at night like everybody else. He even got to have an army around him, you know. You know, there's these delusional characters because they think what it says in Ecclesiastes 8:11 is just going to go on, it's just going to go on, just going to go on. But you know what, I'm going to tell you right now, if we see another 10 years without Jesus coming back, I will be totally surprised. Totally surprised. I really would be. But just like you see in all this chaos kick up, people killing more at a more rapid rate, and a whole lot of other things, you name it, is growing exponentially, and it's slower in America than other countries. And that's because America has the largest group of praying Christian people there is. And for all you new people, on my website or on YouTube, pretty much the same thing, I have a series called 7 Reasons Prayer Fails. Excuse me, 7 Reasons That Causes Prayer to Fail. You really want to go through that because God will give you leeway, okay? But at the point of the matter, the issue is you want to be like Jesus. Jesus never said anything that God didn't say. He never did anything that God didn't want done. He always did what the Father said. Now, we are different because we didn't come from heaven like he did, okay? We came through a woman's womb. But we didn't come. We had never been God. And that's another issue people struggle with. Listen, you're dealing with somebody that don't have a birthday. Don't get into debates over who Jesus was. Because, listen, God is time not present. That means you can go 1 billion miles to the right, he's there. You go 1 billion miles to the left, he's there. Any direction you go. So you can't compress him down to a single solitary figure. What you have, if you read in the Bible, it said the express image of him. Image of him. In other words, he totally represented his authority. That's why Jesus was able to do miracles at a level that was phenomenal rate. Nobody else has copied that. They said if they had wrote down all the miracles that he did while he was on earth, the books would fill the earth. That was an all-day, everyday thing. Nobody has had the Spirit without measure. Why? You know, I was thinking earlier, I grew up during that era when they used to explode nuclear bombs out in the Nevada desert. They didn't know. They was just looking at, hey, we're going to make a big boom. They're dealing with a destructive power, and it's amazing they figured that out, how to activate almost basically something that's invisible and turn it into a highly destructive force. I mean, you really got to really look at what they do with a nuclear bomb. Well, it was originally called an atom bomb, and now they've been going exponentially with it. This is why, see, when Jesus said in Mark chapter 11 that if you had the faith, if you believe in your heart and not doubt, you can move a mountain, he was not doing a cliche. He was really giving us a revelation of what we have. Because understand what's going to happen now. We're going to transition at the rapture. We're going to go, amen, and be changed to be just like Jesus. See, and then the limits come off. But God want to see some willingness to do the right thing. And this is what this is about. And like I said, because, see, as we get closer to the end, sometime this month, if they haven't done it already, the Pentagon is supposed to go before the Senate and tell the truth about UFOs. Why? Because they have to have an explanation to explain why 1 billion people just, poof, disappeared. See, and now we come to what we was reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that God shall send them a strong delusion. So if you get left behind, it's going to be hard to, it's just so much in that particular chapter, you really need to get a commentary on that so you fully understand what he is talking about. Now, mind you, he's just speaking what's being revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And in that time in his life, none of this technology is even remotely near. I mean, they were cooking with fire, true, that was it, okay? They didn't have an electric furnace heating their house. They didn't have cars, trucks, planes, buses. All they had was a horse and carriage. When they went across the river, they had a sailboat. I mean, they didn't have none of this, nothing that could remotely explain to them or reveal to them what is actually happening. We can see it all now happening. We can see this now. We know. See, we know that two men are going to come because we in Revelation chapter 11 talks about two men coming and they're going to wreak havoc on the earth. This is after the rapture. Anything after, I believe, I was taught and I agree with it. Everybody don't, but anyway. Two men are going to come and wreak havoc on the earth, and after that, they're going to get killed, lying in the street for 3 days. And it said that every man, it said that every nation, every tongue, and every kindred shall see them. And now, at that time, you couldn't have even told the whole world about that in 3 days. But now with satellite TV, you can see it. And see, that's why we knew that the satellite TV system was coming. We knew that the cashless society was coming in Revelation 13, verses 15 through 18, that no man might buy or sell except him that had a mark. Right now, China's cashless. Australia's cashless. India's cashless. Some of your biggest nations. Canada's going. America's going there. There's no question. I could break it down to you to understand what happened. See, you really just want to have insight. So, again, but now, see, people, what Satan does is try to get people to be like him. He didn't want to serve God. He wanted to be like God. That's in Isaiah. You listen to his commentary in Isaiah chapter 14. I will be like the Most High. Why? You know, I would have been, man, listen, May 30th, I broke my hip. Do you know what kind of pain that was? He's never felt that kind of pain. That's the gun. Somebody give me a gun so I can shoot myself pain. That's how bad that hurt. You can imagine. It's drop a bowling ball on your baby toe type hurt. I'm telling you, it's like, why? Man, I was pleading. I'm like, God, why can't I need a miracle? Listen, I'm telling you. He never did that. And that fool got kicked out of heaven. I would not. Why would you fall a fool like that? But I don't know, but people do. They do. And that's because they want, it's not unusual. If you ever run across a person that practices witchcraft, don't be afraid of them if you're a Christian, especially if you're walking upright, okay? Don't condemn them. Don't speak negatively toward them. Pray for them. They're just a sinner that need to be saved by grace, like all of us. They don't understand. But see, he works after the flesh. That's what he does. Now, after the flesh is you're supposed to seek to develop your spirit. In other words, unite it to the point that it yields to God in every aspect. You know, I mean, I'm going to be on this for a while. See, and that, like I say, it's because, see, the point of the matter is the reason that all this occurs is simply because we have more power than we can possibly imagine. But it is so awesome and so, you know, I mean, to be able to speak and literally destroy something, that you can't take that lightly. That's why God don't let us play with it. We get to, you know, we get to see things, and I enjoy seeing miracles, but do you really think about what transacts in a miracle? When Jesus made a blind man see, that means he by simply speaking, his words changed the molecular structure inside that man. Rebuild, reassembled the molecules to the proper place function that was necessary. When he made a man walk, same thing. Okay? You can see in molecular changes. When you can control, this is what happened with a nuclear bomb. That's what happened. And really, it's a raw form of power. They can't concentrate it like they would if time was to go on, to the point that they're getting better at it, which is another reason why I know we're down to the last days. God's not going to let them be that crazy because they don't know how to act. What would people do with power? Good case in point is we got billionaires and homeless at the same time. What's the justification for not for having $1 billion while they're homeless. See, I would be scared. There was a time back during the 70s, you know, that probably didn't look so bad, but we also didn't have that many billionaires. Now we got more billionaires than ever, and we got more homeless than ever. If you look in Luke chapter 16, that ain't going to play out well. I don't know what kind of case you can make for that. God don't have a problem with people being rich because he said, and I think in 1 Timothy 6:17, the B portion of that, he gave us all things to enjoy. See, that, again, but when you can rule, see, when they think that they can buy anything they want, what happens? Satan deceived them. Remember, we go back a few weeks, he offered all that to Jesus. He said, if you worship me, all these kingdoms will I give to you. Jesus didn't refute that. But he said, I shall worship the Lord thy God and him only. See, this is the whole point. Satan broke ranks. That's how he got kicked out. Isaiah 14, he speaks about it. Ezekiel 28, he started observing his power and authority and got a delusion. If I get together a couple of trillion angels, we can overthrow one God. He had no clue. He had no clue. He had no clue. He got threw out by one angel. One angel slammed him to the earth. Okay. And we have more power than that. Now, because we're moving, some things are going to happen. As you look around, you really look around at how the world is going right now. There's this kick up in storms and volcanoes, and it's going to increase. Jesus said pestilences, okay, wars. It ain't going to get better until Jesus come back. It'll get extremely worse. Matter of fact, part of the groundwork for the Antichrist to come in and take advantage of people is going to be total chaos, total breakdown in society, and he's going to come in with a solution. Why? Because he's causing it. See, when you go back and you read in 1 Thessalonians, verse 9, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 9, it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. See, you know, all miracles ain't from God. You know, if you go back, well, I think a few weeks ago, I showed where when we was talking about, again, it's being able to access the power. You know, you can access the power. That's what witchcraft is, illegal use of power. Moses went to visit Pharaoh. And his brother Aaron threw down his rod, turned into a snake, and Pharaoh called his magicians, and they threw their rods down and turned into three snakes. But greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. Aaron's snakes ate up all three of theirs. Okay? We got the upper hand in this. But see, again, think about that. At that time in history, and ain't nothing changed. These little electronic gadgets we got don't make us some great and modern super smart society. All of this has existed. And if you study, when you're in college, studying history and philosophy, you're learning a lot of this. But if you don't try to see it through God's eyes, all you see is an opportunity to remember some people that passed through time. But these are the things that I picked up that they had the math skill to do exactly what we do with it today. But God would not let them. They could have had cars 4,000 years ago. They could have had nuclear Fermi power plants 4,000 years ago, electricity. They found evidence that they had been trying and experimenting with laser types. It's just they had the skill because human nature is the same. Adam, okay, is... God brought all the animals to Adam, and Adam gave them names. See, because go back to verse 2:7, Genesis 2:7, God put his spirit in Adam, but it's locked inside and limited by that thing called a soul. Man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. Okay. So I'm going to be on this for a while because, like I say, it's going to be challenging. Some things are coming that are going to happen that's going to be mind-blowing. But, again, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's the thing. That's the other thing. Being a Christian is not a religious person. That's having the word Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. That's his ability to delegate that power to those that the Father wills. That's tremendous power. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Okay? even though he's the Son of God. Mary's last name wasn't Christ. It's really a very detailed, and then that little word is a lot of information about how we're able to be in a relationship with God as a man, as a human being. How to be a person born in sin, a failing creature that can be in the presence of a God where there is no sin. This is why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Got to be flesh and spirit. This is not a book of cliches. All right. I know I use up a lot of time just getting started, but I've been away, and when I'm away, I listen. And like I said, I let God run this. All right. So now we're going to pick up where we left off. Now, if you remember where we left off was with the double cross in John chapter 13, Judas double crossed Jesus and kind of did enough commentary. So, and where I'm going is the process and of how this happens. And see, particularly now, and you know, I was on Facebook a few days ago, and anyway, and they made some comment anyway in a relationship about how relationships fall apart. And see, and so I wanted just to get some attention. I asked, well, okay, I understand the Christians have a rule book for marriage. But where's the secular rule book? See, it was about defrauding your partner as far as sex is concerned. You can't, when you marry, technically, in Christianity, according to, I think, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, you can't say, I have a headache, unless you really have a headache. So you have to be open and honest and discuss what the problem is. But that's pastoral stuff. I'm not going to deal with that right now. But the point of the matter is, there has to be a guide for life. See, when people are doing things of God, without God, it's not likely. That's why you have a 50% divorce rate. Sad that it's almost as high, that same level. Now, but the point of the matter is everything begins with a process. You know, Genesis 8:22 is another epiphany scripture, and it says, let me read it so it'd be accurate. Basically, it's saying that seed time and harvest, okay, we use that particularly. We hear that. It says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. While the earth remaineth, the earth going to remain until the end of the millennial period. But the point I want to get you with is everything is on both sides, okay? Same thing. You can plant a seed for good, and you'll get a good crop. You can plant a seed for bad, you'll get a bad crop. So what happens with now, when you go back to John 13, what happened what's his name? Judas. Now, I've learned a little bit about Judas, but I'm not going to get too detailed into Judas, except for the fact that he didn't have an understanding about money. And, he wasn't exactly like a totally poor guy. And actually, Peter wasn't poor. None of these guys were poor. Jesus wasn't even poor. Come on, not the smartest money manager on the planet. Really? He was a carpenter. You know what? Look at all the houses around you and ask me how many broke carpenters you. You know, you got to be a bad carpenter to be broke. If you're building houses and selling them, and they're very easy to sell, you know, I just can't see it. And you know, you got a 3-year mission coming up. Jesus knew what the plan was. Okay, so you know, I forgot who carried the money, but they carried the money, and seeing back, you had to understand the cost of living back then. Back during the time of Jesus, one penny that you ain't even get a whole penny these days could buy everything. You could, with your one penny, you could pay your rent, your groceries. You could buy seed for farming, a horse, and all that. So that was a lot of money. So about 20 pennies was a lot of money. But anyway, note this in John 13:2. It says, well, I'm going to read one, so I want you to get a picture of what's going on. It says, now before the feast of Passover, which we commonly call Easter, okay, when Jesus knew that his hour was come and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Okay, I'm going to drop down to verse 27. Now, but what I want you to get there, you know, we're going to get to that next week, because I'm playing catch-up right now. We're going to be going to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where it talks about casting down imagination. There are only two sources of thoughts coming in your mind, okay? God and the devil, you know, angels and demons, okay? You don't formulate. I know you like to think you formulate. You utilize information that exists. You're not an independent person. Yeah, I know you think you are, but you either for God or the devil. Them the only two directions. I mean, it is what it is. You know, I know people struggle with that. But see, it's a process of understanding the totality. God is thinking about us on the billion-year level. Get that in your mind. Because we look at people going in the grave and act like that's it. We hit the grave and they go over. But you can go on YouTube and type in people that have gone to heaven and come back, and you'll get probably about 1,000 videos. And it's that, along with everything else that's increasing, that's increasing, which is phenomenal. You know, I mean, it's something. These people, now they're all over the world. I mean, come on, you ain't going to get a Middle Eastern person that was growing up as a Muslim, Islamic in a country, you know, being a Christian, you get your head chopped off, going to turn around and tell a story like that to their parents. You know, I was there, Mama Jesus came to visit me last night. Who, what, you know? I can't help but believe it because there's some phenomenal things that's going on and going to go on, okay? God got it's a lot of work to do in a little bit of time. And that's probably why the greatest growth of Christianity right now is in the Middle East. Can you believe it? See, the news is showing you all the negativity. They're not going to tell you about the gospel because they hoping it ain't true. They lie to themselves. They deceive themselves, all right? But the point of the matter is, now I'm going to get back to my point here, is that the devil start talking to you. And that's when you can only kill that thought with the word. You have to have a word response. See, I'm not accountable for what come in my head. I'm accountable for what Jesus said, what comes out of the mouth defileth the man. See, if I say the thought, then I own the thought. And then I believe in Matthew chapter 6, I believe, he said, don't take the thought as he's speaking. Don't take the thought. Don't take the thought. Don't take the thought. See, right now, I mean, it's a part of the process of learning to be the spirit man. See, and then again, to reverse that, because you're going to find that that's going to be critical as we go on in time. See, so now we get here. Now, here in verse 2, you see Satan just started talking to him. He has to get an agreement from you. You can resist him. You can overcome him. I say this with boldness. If you haven't received Christ, see, this is why I know that prayer at the end, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, that guarantees you cannot be possessed. He can oppress you. He can talk some stuff. He can afflict you. But you can get him up off of you if you know your rights as a Christian. This is why knowledge of the Word of God is essential. See, a lot of people die. I saw a lot of people die last year that I'm like, I don't know. I don't think they should have been dead. But you know what? I listen to what people say and how they debate certain aspects about it. It's all in the real now. Satan knows it. He knows it. And so it's sad that he know more about Christianity than a lot of Christians. Well, he's had 5,000 years to study it. All right, so when we drop down, John chapter 27, John chapter 13, verse 27, you get a reiteration of a sanctioning. Now, it says, after the supper, and let me read so you can get a picture of what's going on. It says, in verse 25, he then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Okay, and Jesus has just revealed that somebody's going to double cross it. Okay, you know, John 16:13 said that the Holy Spirit will tell you that which is coming. This is why Christians that are submissive to God should know what's going on. I'm not really surprised when I see Christians that don't really believe. They think this is just going to be another, well, we've always heard that. And we've been saying that for 40 years. You know what? It's a lot of things that haven't been here for 40 years. We've never been this close to the totality of a cashless society. Okay, go back to like 1979. It wasn't that close. Everybody didn't have a credit card. You could not operate this world without money. You can do that now. They found a way to get communication to people no matter where you are on the planet. So they can do that now. And it's not going to be everybody anyway. But anyway, it says, and after Satan, after the sop, you know, dipped into the pot, that's how they probably was eating hummus, okay? That's where hummus come from. I had hummus. That's, you know, crushed chickpeas, and I like it. And it says, after the sop, Satan entered into him, and it's good protein too. After the sop, Satan entered into him. See, his mind, will, and emotions gave in to what was being put in his head. See, and Satan by observation, see, he's been studying our psychology for a long time, knew that he could go in and not get resistance from Satan, from Judas, okay? And then Jesus said unto him, that you do quickly, you know? All right. So the point of the matter is like I say, and it's very important here to recognize that it begins in the thought process. And I hate to say this again, but like I said, I've been away for 2 weeks. The thought process is where Satan began. Now, to block the process, you need two things vitally. You need the Spirit of Christ, and you need the Word of God. So we can start right now with the Spirit of Christ. So if you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, now is the time. Listen, this stuff's so deep, it's a faith move. You don't have to fully understand it. You have to believe it. You have to believe it to receive it. Don't go by your feelings. You're not going to feel the earth shake, your body shake. You may not cry. You might not feel anything. But God operates on your word just like he expects you to operate on his word. In other words, you believe him, he'll believe you. And that stands. So let's pray right now. If you never say, Father God, I believe the word, and I believe we were born in sin, and I believe you sent your son to die for me. And right now, Father, I ask forgiveness for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And Father, I thank you. I believe I have received it. And I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. And if you're backslid, that contract still stands. If you come back to God, he'll immediately receive you. And all you have to say is these words, Father God, I ask your forgiveness for my sin. I'm returning myself to you. I repent of my sin and ask you bless me to help me to get closer to you. And I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. And with that, I have a prayer request. Just keep praying for me, for my recovery to continue as it has. And remember this, prayer works by faith, or faith works by love. Prayer works by faith. And God is love. And remember, prayer is God trusting you with his power. And with that, I'll see you for sure, hopefully next week. Amen. Praise God.
It's your boy. We'll be right back.
got a plug on the love if you need something. I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming. Just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight. You look around, you need that love.
That love, I got a heavenly plug.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I got a heavenly plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? No need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up. Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. And have the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love.
That love, I got a heavenly plug.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I got a heavenly plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why?
I found a heavenly plug.
Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back.